Welcome to SILRAP Podcasts. You are about to listen to a service of the Center for International Law Research and Policy.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Chris Marnie. I'm a research fellow at the Center for International Law Research and Policy. It's my pleasure, of course, to welcome you here on behalf of the Center. On behalf of our distinguished director, Professor Bergsmo, on behalf of our co-organizers, the Nuremberg Principles Academy, represented here by Vivian Dittrich. I also, of course, want to acknowledge our collaborators, the Department of Criminology and Sociology of Law at the University of Oslo, the Stockholm Center for International Law and Justice of Stockholm University, the Handa Center for Human Rights and International Justice of Stanford University, the University of Delhi Campus Law Center, Peking University Law Institute, and the United Nations Development Program. It's a particular privilege to have distinguished guests amongst us as well today. We are fortunate to have the Honorable Justice Marc Perrin de Brichambeau of the ICC, Honorable Justice Sir David Baragwanath, and Director Patrick Kulis. Many of you will be familiar with the history of this special location in which we gather. Our past Florence meetings have been held up at the European University Institute, and there we have discussed many of the technical and theoretical issues of international criminal law and its enforcement. Lofty considerations discussed, of course, at a height that allows us to look out over Florence and the Tuscan hills, admiring their beauty, but not having to grapple necessarily with their complexity. Florence, of course, made its name as a global financial center. Cosimo Medici used to bring the leading thinkers from around the known world here and provide their lodging and provide them the financial support necessary for them to engage in their academic life and their critical thinking. They included, of course, those critical of government, those critical of how society was organized. These relations also enabled him a level of suasion. He was bringing these people into his orbit, and in doing so, he accumulated a significant degree of power beyond that of the Medici Bank. Now, this weekend, we gather down here in the city center, where these human interactions occurred, where power was accumulated, and where ideas were both supported and corrupted. This meeting and the literature produced for the anthology demands that we cease to gaze at international criminal justice's beauty from the ivory tower, as if gazing over Florence from the EUI. It demands that we come down into the town and consider how people and institutions they form accumulate power, why, and what they then do with it. We are asking these questions about the people in international criminal justice. Who is it that has shaped who we prosecute? What for, and why? Who are these people, and who and what do they represent? What does it tell us about who has power, how they wield it, and what that means for the independence of international criminal justice? The conference could not have come at a more pertinent time, of course. Disclosures relating to the conduct of the previous ICC prosecutor, Luis Mourinho Ocampo, his former colleagues, and of course the current prosecutor of the ICC, demand that we cast a particularly focused lens on the sociology of international criminal justice. We look forward to your contributions throughout the next 2 days on these issues. I wish now to pass the floor to Justice Debris Chambaud, a judge in the pretrial chamber at the International Criminal Court. He was previously the legal director of the French Ministry of Foreign Affairs legal section and the Secretary General of the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. You have the floor. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Chris Marney. I'm a research fellow at the Center for International Law Research and Policy. It's my pleasure, of course, to welcome you here on behalf of the Center, on behalf of our distinguished director, Professor Bergsmo, on behalf of our co-organizers, the Nuremberg Principles Academy, represented here by Vivian Dittrich. I also, of course, want to acknowledge our collaborators, the Department of Criminology and Sociology of Law at the University of Oslo, the Stockholm Center for International Law and Justice of Stockholm University, the Handa Center for Human Rights and International Justice of Stanford University, the University of Delhi Campus Law Center, Peking University Law Institute, and the United Nations Development Program. It's a particular privilege to have distinguished guests amongst us as well today. We are fortunate to have the Honorable Justice Marc Perrin Debris Chambaud of the ICC, Honorable Justice Sir David Baragwanath, and Director Patrick Kulis. Many of you will be familiar with the history of this special location in which we gather. Our past Florence meetings have been held up at the European University Institute, and there we have discussed many of the technical and theoretical issues of international criminal law and its enforcement. Lofty considerations discussed, of course, at a height that allows us to look out over Florence and the Tuscan hills, admiring their beauty, but not having to grapple necessarily with their complexity. Florence, of course, made its name as a global financial center. Cosimo Medici used to bring the leading thinkers from around the known world here and provide their lodging and provide them the financial support necessary for them to engage in their academic life and their critical thinking. They included, of course, those critical of government, those critical of how society was organized. These relations also enabled him a level of suasion. He was bringing these people into his orbit, and in doing so, he accumulated a significant degree of power beyond that of the Medici Bank. Now, this weekend, we gather down here in the city center, where these human interactions occurred, where power was accumulated, and where ideas were both supported and corrupted. This meeting and the literature produced for the anthology demands that we cease to gaze at international criminal justice's beauty from the ivory tower, as if gazing over Florence from the EUI. It demands that we come down into the town and consider how people and institutions they form accumulate power, why, and what they then do with it. We are asking these questions about the people in international criminal justice. Who is it that has shaped who we prosecute? What for, and why? Who are these people, and who and what do they represent? What does it tell us about who has power, how they wield it, and what that means for the independence of international criminal justice? The conference could not have come at a more pertinent time, of course. Disclosures relating to the conduct of the previous ICC prosecutor, Luis Mourinho Ocampo, his former colleagues, and of course the current prosecutor of the ICC, demand that we cast a particularly focused lens on the sociology of international criminal justice. We look forward to your contributions throughout the next 2 days on these issues. I wish now to pass the floor to Justice Debris Chambeau, a judge in the pretrial chamber at the International Criminal Court. He was previously the legal director of the French Ministry of Foreign Affairs legal section and the Secretary General of the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. You have the floor. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Chris Marnie. I'm a research fellow at the Center for International Law Research and Policy. It's my pleasure, of course, to welcome you here on behalf of the Center, on behalf of our distinguished director, Professor Bergsmo, on behalf of our co-organizers, the Nuremberg Principles Academy, represented here by Vivian Dittrich. I also, of course, want to acknowledge our collaborators, the Department of Criminology and Sociology of Law at the University of Oslo, the Stockholm Centre for International Law and Justice of Stockholm University, the Handa Centre for Human Rights and International Justice of Stanford University, the University of Delhi Campus Law Centre, Peking University Law Institute, and the United Nations Development Programme. It's a particular privilege to have distinguished guests amongst us as well today. We are fortunate to have the Honourable Justice Marc Parand Debris Chambeau of the ICC, Honourable Justice Sir David Baragwanath, and Director Patrick Kulis. Many of you will be familiar with the history of this special location in which we gather. Our past Florence meetings have been held up at the European University Institute, and there we have discussed many of the technical and theoretical issues of international criminal law and its enforcement. Lofty considerations discussed, of course, at a height that allows us to look out over Florence and the Tuscan hills, admiring their beauty, but not having to grapple necessarily with their complexity. Florence, of course, made its name as a global financial center. Cosimo Medici used to bring the leading thinkers from around the known world here and provide their lodging and provide them the financial support necessary for them to engage in their academic life and their critical thinking. They included, of course, those critical of government, those critical of how society was organized. These relations also enabled him a level of suasion. He was bringing these people into his orbit. And in doing so, he accumulated a significant degree of power beyond that of the Medici Bank. Now, this weekend, we gather down here in the city center, where these human interactions occurred, where power was accumulated, and where ideas were both supported and corrupted. This meeting and the literature produced for the anthology demands that we cease to gaze at international criminal justice's beauty from the ivory tower, as if gazing over Florence from the EUI. It demands that we come down into the town and consider how people and institutions they form accumulate power, why, and what they then do with it. We are asking these questions about the people in international criminal justice. Who is it that has shaped who we prosecute? What for, and why? Who are these people, and who and what do they represent? What does it tell us about who has power, how they wield it, and what that means for the independence of international criminal justice? The conference could not have come at a more pertinent time, of course. Disclosures relating to the conduct of the previous ICC prosecutor, Luis Mourinho Ocampo, his former colleagues, and of course the current prosecutor of the ICC, demand that we cast a particularly focused lens on the sociology of international criminal justice. We look forward to your contributions throughout the next 2 days on these issues. I wish now to pass the floor to Justice de Brichambeau, a judge in the pretrial chamber at the International Criminal Court. He was previously the legal director of the French Ministry of Foreign Affairs legal section and the Secretary General of the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. You have the floor. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Chris Marnie. I'm a research fellow at the Center for International Law Research and Policy. It's my pleasure, of course, to welcome you here on behalf of the Center, on behalf of our distinguished director, Professor Bergsmo, on behalf of our co-organizers, the Nuremberg Principles Academy, represented here by Vivian Dittrich. I also, of course, want to acknowledge our collaborators, the Department of Criminology and Sociology of Law at the University of Oslo, the Stockholm Center for International Law and Justice of Stockholm University, the Handa Center for Human Rights and International Justice of Stanford University, the University of Delhi Campus Law Center, Peking University Law Institute, and the United Nations Development Program. It's a particular privilege to have distinguished guests amongst us as well today. We are fortunate to have the Honorable Justice Marc Parand de Brichambeau of the ICC, Honorable Justice Sir David Baragwanath, and Director Patrick Kulis. Many of you will be familiar with the history of this special location in which we gather. Our past Florence meetings have been held up at the European University Institute, and there we have discussed many of the technical and theoretical issues of international criminal law and its enforcement. Lofty considerations discussed, of course, at a height that allows us to look out over Florence and the Tuscan hills, admiring their beauty, but not having to grapple necessarily with their complexity. Florence, of course, made its name as a global financial center. Cosimo Medici used to bring the leading thinkers from around the known world here and provide their lodging and provide them the financial support necessary for them to engage in their academic life and their critical thinking. They included, of course, those critical of government, those critical of how society was organized. These relations also enabled him a level of suasion. He was bringing these people into his orbit, and in doing so, he accumulated a significant degree of power beyond that of the Medici Bank. Now, this weekend, we gather down here in the city center, where these human interactions occurred, where power was accumulated, and where ideas were both supported and corrupted. This meeting and the literature produced for the anthology demands that we cease to gaze at international criminal justice's beauty from the ivory tower, as if gazing over Florence from the EUI. It demands that we come down into the town and consider how people and institutions they form accumulate power, why, and what they then do with it. We are asking these questions about the people in international criminal justice. Who is it that has shaped who we prosecute? What for, and why? Who are these people, and who and what do they represent? What does it tell us about who has power, how they wield it, and what that means for the independence of international criminal justice? The conference could not have come at a more pertinent time, of course. Disclosures relating to the conduct of the previous ICC prosecutor, Luis Mourinho Ocampo, his former colleagues, and of course the current prosecutor of the ICC, demand that we cast a particularly focused lens on the sociology of international criminal justice. We look forward to your contributions throughout the next 2 days on these issues. I wish now to pass the floor to Justice de Brichambeau, a judge in the pretrial chamber at the International Criminal Court. He was previously the legal director of the French Ministry of Foreign Affairs legal section and the Secretary General of the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. You have the floor.
Thank you for listening. For more open access audio recordings, films, and publications, go to silrap.org.